The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. Please stand. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is further written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "If all these things I will give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, we see the devil tempting our Lord. He's tempting him against the first commandment. That is, the commandment that I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If our Lord is tempted, then we will certainly be tempted. And unfortunately, this commandment and the other two commandments pertaining to God are often overlooked. The first commandment, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me." This covers many things. It is not just specifically worshiping a false idol, but it covers many things. Neglect in prayer, laziness in prayer. This is a sin against the first commandment. You know, I often say 30 minutes is the bare minimum we should be doing. That is what? The C minus minus, right? So that's a guideline by me just to show the fact that everyone should be praying every day. If you don't have time for that, you need to look and think whether you are truly making time for God. This is a sin against the first commandment, not praying or putting off prayers or rushing through them. Now, distraction is another thing. As long as we're not purposely distracted, God will accept the prayer. Tempting God by exposing oneself implicitly or explicitly to sin. This is the second temptation of the devil. Throw yourself off, the angels will hold you up. That's what our Lord is saying. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That is to put yourself into a situation thinking that God will give you the graces to handle it. So that could be anything from looking at some, getting on some internet websites and thinking, "Oh, it's fine. I'll get the graces, so I don't fall into sin." No, that's called tempting God, or thinking, "Oh, I don't have to pray." This kind of ties into the first one. God will take care of me. Putting yourself in a situation, expecting, or irresponsibly putting yourself in a situation, expecting God and His grace to bail you out. That's tempting God, and that's a grave sin. Not behaving, reverently in church. Talking unnecessarily. Not reverencing the Blessed Sacrament properly. Genuflecting. In the extraordinary form, the reverence to the Blessed Sacrament is a genuflection. There is no bow in the extraordinary form unless your knees don't work. If you have bad knees and if you're going to genuflect and you can't get up, then go ahead and bow. But other than that, it's a genuflection. Your knees should touch the ground. That's the proper reverence. I think I gave a homily on this about a year ago as to the proper places at your closest approach to our Lord. You genuflect and when crossing the center. Not reverencing the Blessed Sacrament is a sin against the first commandment. Also, being distracted at Mass or distracting others at Mass. Now, this includes little children. Little children don't need to be at Mass. And so if a child is crying, you should take them out. At this Mass especially, we have the nursery. We can go outside. Be because that is distracting others, preventing them from properly giving reverence to God. Little children do not need to be at Mass. We have to remember this. And so it's important to respect other people in this regard. I think we've been doing very well on this in the past year, I hope no one's getting self-conscious by that. But just understand why we strive for this here. Excessive attraction to material things. We put other things in the place of God. Excessive attraction, inordinate attraction to sports, celebrities, movie stars, politics. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat in the White House. It's not really going to make much difference. And being too obsessive about this can detract from God. God, we want to make sure that we don't get too excessive on these things. Jobs, also our job, our home, all these things we can begin to put in the place of God. And I say excessive. You should be a little solicitous about your job, concerned about your job, and having a good home for yourself and your family. But it's excessive. Idolatry, worshiping false gods. This is usually what people think of when they think of the first commandment. That can be some kind of idol or the evil one. But it can also mean worshiping science or progress or other types of things, even power or pleasures. Superstitions, ascribing powers to created things. Superstition. Now, there are some common, what we call superstitions. We don't want to fall into too much scrupulosity concerning this. But sometimes people will think and say, Father, you know, every time this happens, this other thing happens. Every time I see a brown dog, one of my friends falls ill. Don't connect things like that. You'll go crazy. You'll go crazy. It's a coincidence. There's a lot of brown dogs out there. But these type of things, these superstitions, and people can be serious about it. Every time I think about this person, something bad happens. Don't make those type of connections. That can be superstitious. Every time I think people get the idea of that. Communicating with the dead, with the devils, to discover unknown information, fortune telling, even if it's for a game or fun, this opens a door that we don't want to open. This would be Ouija boards or anything. Father, we just did it with fun and games. It's just little kids. That is a serious sin. Do not engage in fortune telling or trying to find unknown information. Communicating with the dead, don't do that. Attaching value, undue meaning to things, dreams and signs. Occasionally there can be something that happens in a dream. I'll be honest with you on this. Sometimes I know, like, if someone's sleeping and someone comes to them, it's like their mother, and they say, I'm very happy, and then that's it. They wake up in the morning and they realize that person just died. That is something that maybe we can put a little stock in, usually very brief like that. But beyond that, don't put any stock in dreams. Dreams are just your imagination on autopilot. So we don't want to do that. Or other things. This kind of goes back to the superstition. Sacrilege. That is receiving sacraments in mortal sin, coming up to receive communion in mortal sin. It is a very serious sin. Don't come to communion. It's okay. You can make a spiritual communion. It's okay. And we shouldn't judge anyone who doesn't come up for communion. Or if you feel self-conscious, just come up for a blessing. Please don't receive the Blessed Sacrament in mortal sin. And this also refers to the other sacraments, of course, but also using blessed items improperly. We can get a little superstitious about this, right? The little Saint Joseph to sell your house. I remember someone wanted me to bless the Saint Joseph statue. Well, they wanted me to, they said, Father, I've got to sell my house on 5 acres. How many Saint Joseph statues does it require? I'm thinking 3. What's the radius of the Saint Joseph statue? And then they want to bless so they can put it and bury it in the ground. I'm sorry, that's superstitious. Now, it's another thing to like maybe give someone a green scapular or even take a miraculous medal and bury it around an abortion clinic. I don't think that's sacrilegious because there's something evil happening there and we're putting a blessed item there to try to combat that evil. I don't think that is sacrilegious as long as we understand what we're doing and not being too superstitious. But some of these other things, or sometimes people want things blessed that I know they're just going to throw away. Pieces of paper. I'm not going to bless that because there's a good chance that you're just going to throw it away or it won't be cared for. Remember, having a blessed item is a responsibility. Now, we shouldn't just take them lightly. It's good to have statues and images around, but sometimes it can become a little bit too superstitious. Or people who collect relics. Having a relic is a responsibility. You shouldn't just have a drawer full of relics lightly. They should be respected and honored properly with due reverence. And that can kind of begin to slide into this a little bit. Materialism, believing only in outward or material things, very common today. Atheism, not believing in God or questioning his reality. This is also agnosticism, saying that, well, I don't think there's enough evidence, or I believe there's a power out there, but kind of he's on his own and just created us and is not worried about us. It's deism. All of these things are sins against the first commandment. And that we should be careful of these sins against faith. Second commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain. Now, we only use the name of God, Jesus Christ, and also the saints' names, Our Lady and the various saints, when praying, when teaching, or when speaking reverently. That is talking about Our Lady. You know, I prayed to Our Lady for the conversion of my son, and she, you know, it was such a blessing that now he's going to Mass and has changed his life. That would be a case in which you can do it. You're talking reverently about a saint. Otherwise, pretty much we can understand it's a sin. Now, normally, taking the Lord's name in vain, say, oh my God, or Jesus Christ in these type of situations, exclamations. These are grave sins. Unless you're praying, if you're about to get in a wreck and you just kind of say, oh God, help me, that's different. But these are sins. And also, moralists will say the surrogates that are almost like it. Oh my gosh. Don't say that. Don't do that. These are, everybody knows what they mean. Don't say them. Instead of Jesus Christ, jeez. No, don't do that. So I know some moralists will say that. They're lesser, but don't say that. Also, we don't want to say hell. That's the place of the devil. Just don't even talk about that. Or heck. It's the same thing. It's surrogate. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is it that I need to say these things? There's a deeper reason. It's based upon maybe I don't have control of my passions, I get angry too much, or maybe I say that because I want to look good in front of my friends. Maybe they're not Catholic friends, but I want to look good. Or maybe it's just habit that was picked up from work. But if we say these things, we need to look inside of ourselves and say why, and not try to replace it with some kind of surrogate, but really root out the deeper cause. Now, I should say this. There's also these other words which are called vulgarities. I think all the adults know what I mean. These are usually bodily functions. And they are usually considered the worst type of words you can say in society. But spiritually, they're not nearly as bad as taking the Lord's name in vain or these other things. I should also add there's another word, D-A-M-N. This is a very serious sin also. Especially if someone would say that to someone else. You know, God, you. That is the prayer of the devil. We're joining the devil in his prayers. He wants everything damned. If you call your car that, if you refer to your car that, or the telephone, or my cell phone, or whatever else, that's the prayer of the devil. He wants everything damned. Don't use that word as an exclamation. Don't say darn also as an exclamation. That can open the door to the devil, especially saying it to someone else. That is one of the most serious things you can do, especially if you have a supernatural authority over the person, such as their godparent or their parent. That is serious. Stay away from that word. That opens the door. Why? Because you're joining the devil in his prayer and he will happily join you. It is serious. Unfortunately, in our society, it is taken lightly. But it is a serious word. Stay away from it. Don't even use it as an adjective. And then also, we have perjury and unnecessary oaths, saying a promise with no intention of keeping the promise, or taking an oath lightly, calling upon the witness of God unnecessarily. These are all sins against the second commandment. Now, we'll just cover briefly sins against the third commandment, keeping the Lord's day holy. Now, the other two commandments, the first two are thou shalt not. Any negative precept, any negative command does not allow exceptions. Once we understand what it means. A positive precept, though, a positive command, intrinsically assumes that there are exceptions. So what is the third commandment? It is a positive one. Thou shalt keep the Lord's day holy. We should strive to keep it holy, but there can be exceptions. If you have to work on Sunday because you're a police officer, fireman, or a doctor, that is an exception. But we should strive to keep the Lord's Day holy. That is, we shouldn't miss Mass lightly. If we're sick, we should stay home. We don't want to infect other people or, crawl out of bed and drive a half hour. That can be serious. If you have to take care of someone who's sick, that's also an excusing cause. Traditionally, it has always been permitted to take care of little children. If infants, a nursing mother, that is actually an excusing cause. It's in the old rules and even in the modern rules. These are permitted. So if a parent is outside for half the Mass, it's okay. That's excusing cause. Unnecessary work on Sunday. In the old days, it said servile labor. That is, if you sweated or did some kind of servant work, that was forbidden. However, that was back when the vast majority of people worked manual labor. Nowadays, we try to say that if you're doing something by which you earn your daily bread, that is your employment, you shouldn't be doing it unless you're required to. If your boss requires you to come in and you don't want to, then that is an excusing cause. But you shouldn't be volunteering to work on Sunday because you get double time and can take the family on that vacation now, right? That we shouldn't do. So someone in retail, unfortunately stores are open on Sunday, or restaurants, you might have to work. And then again, a police officer, a fireman, or something like that. We should be careful with that. Unnecessary work. So some you can do, you have to do the dishes, that's okay. Some light work around the house. If you're in an office all day long, I'll say, working in the garden for an hour or two is good if it's relaxing. It's relaxing. If you're doing something more serious than that, then maybe you shouldn't. Also, if you work outside, maybe if you work in landscaping, then don't say, oh, Father said it's okay if I work in the garden. Should be your day off. You shouldn't be, unless you really like doing that. That is unnecessary work. And we should be sensitive to making other people work on Sunday. You're permitted to go out to dinner or go out to lunch as a break for in the home, but we should be careful about falling into that habit because those other people who work have the right to that Sunday off also. And so it's always been that restaurants or buying fuel is permitted, but we should be careful about that. Shopping on Sunday. Unless it's a necessity, we shouldn't shop on Sunday. When I was a kid, I remember, and I'm not that old, stores were closed on Sunday. But now they're always open. We shouldn't do that unless it's an emergency, or I shouldn't say an urgency. Why don't we say that? You're out of milk and you have the baby. Okay, too bad. You should have planned better, but that's an exception. Someone's very sick. You can go to the pharmacy and get them some medicine. But we should avoid conducting commerce on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. That is a very worldly thing, and we should not be doing it. Unfortunately, now it's very common. Excessive recreation also. Is Sunday just a Saturday with Mass thrown in? Go to the 6:30 a.m. Mass at St. Expeditus and Deo Gratias, free for the rest of the day. It shouldn't be just Saturday with Mass thrown in. This is hard because our society, again, Sunday is treated that way. Now we have children's soccer leagues that have masses, that have games on Sunday morning, I think now, 10 a.m. soccer games. And now Amazon is delivering on Sunday now. And everything is turning Sunday into another Saturday. We want to be sure that we keep the Lord's Day holy. So what should we be doing? Spending time with our family and friends, especially on Sunday. Should take some time maybe to do some spiritual things, especially if we don't have little children, to be able to spend some extra time. You know, you can go to the park, just some light recreation. Now, I'm not saying that you can't engage in any recreation, that you can't watch a sporting event, but we want to make sure that we keep the Lord's Day holy. It's something that we have to do. And this is the hardest thing, I think, to preach on, is keeping the Lord's Day holy, because it's something that's positive. So, the first three commandments. The devil tempts our Lord in reference to the first commandment. And he's going to tempt us also. He tempts our Lord, he will tempt us. Nobody is going to be exempt from it. Even me, I'm tempted. We're all tempted. We have to be on guard and beware of this. So during Lent, if any of these things you've fallen into, strive and ask for the graces to overcome it, to resist these things, so that we can become holy during this season of Lent, and to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.